Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2422 with the release date of Friday, March 29th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Illegal sales of radio jamming equipment found in the U.S. An Australian amateur is honored for discovering new comets, and our April Fool's correspondent Pierre Poulomaleg is back with a special report on antennas you can grow. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2422 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Our top story comes from a U.S. broadcast network which reported recently about illegal sales of radio jammers in the U.S. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us up to date.
In the U.S., the Federal Communications Commission has revealed that the agency has been investigating a number of online retailers and other sellers over possible marketing of wireless radio frequency jammers, which are illegal under federal law. The disclosure by the FCC's Will Wyquist came following a report by NBC News that wireless jammers that were being offered for sale were being marketed as devices to interfere with the operation of drones. Federal law both prohibits the sale and use of devices that deliberately interfere with signals of GPS units, mobile phones, and other consumer devices. Such jamming devices have the potential to interfere as well with security cameras, Wi-Fi, and emergency communications. The FCC posts an explanation of its policy on its website, saying, quote, "Unlike other radio transmitting equipment, jamming equipment cannot be authorized by the FCC because the main purpose of jamming equipment is to interfere with radio communications," end quote. The FCC made its revelation about conducting probes only after the news network released its own report about the sales of the jammers by more than a dozen companies. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The Parks on the Air program had a welcome announcement recently for fans of portable operation. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, shares this development.
There's good news for POTA hunters. As POTA completes its conversion of labels to conform to the ISO-3166-2 standard, China has returned to participating in Parks on the Air. China's re-entry follows a number of discussions to resolve what POTA described as simple language barriers. According to documentation on the POTA website, the misunderstanding over POTA's reorganization of its code system resulted in an unfortunate breakdown in communications because of these language issues. On Monday, March 25th, POTA announced on its website, quote, "We are happy to be able to reactivate China so quickly," end quote. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
An amateur who was respected for technical expertise and a wide range of HF transceivers and amplifiers and was honored at Hamvention 2 years ago has become a silent key. We hear about him from Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Hams Everywhere sought out the wisdom and expertise of Adam Farson, VA7OJ/AB7OJ, whether they needed guidance on buying a particular HF radio or an amplifier. Adam's website and his array of published articles in different journals contained years of his wisdom and hard work. Adam died on the morning of March 12th. A friend, Matt Erickson, KK5DR, wrote in a QRZ.com forum that Adam had been in failing health since the 1st of January, complicated by a relapse of pneumonia. Much of Adam's technical expertise is shared on his website, which he created more than 3 decades ago. Matt said the site would continue to be maintained online for a time by the North Shore Amateur Radio Club, where Adam was a longtime member. The retired telecom engineer was a senior life member of the IEEE and was first licensed in 1962 with the call sign ZS1ZG while studying at the University of Cape Town. In 2022, Adam received the Technical Achievement Award at Hamvention and was celebrated for his published work and for providing one of the Internet resource amateurs turn to most for high technical details about a variety of radios. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
NASA's Sungrazers program is honoring an amateur radio operator in Australia for having tracked down previously unknown comets by studying spacecraft imagery. We hear about him from John Williams, VK4, JJW.
Congratulations to Peter Barrett, VK3PB, who's been recognized by the NASA Sungrazer program as one of the top successful volunteer comet hunters. Sungrazer is a NASA-funded citizen science program that encourages anyone to participate in the discovery and reporting of previously unknown comets. According to Sungrazer, Peter was the first to locate a comet in imagery from the Parker Solar Probe launched by NASA in 2018. Using a computer program he wrote for this purpose, he's also identified comets in archived images that were collected by four spacecraft. NASA Sun and Space made the announcement about Peter earlier this month on social media. Viewers of Amateur Logic TV may be most familiar with Peter through his previous appearances there. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
In western Pennsylvania, a team of Skywarn operators has been testing the resilience of simplex operation to prepare for emergencies. Randy Sly, W4XJ, spoke to one of the organizers.
What would you do if you wanted to check into the local Skywarn net with a severe storm report and the repeaters in your area suddenly went down? The obvious answer is working simplex, but how and where? The Southwest District Skywarn team of Western Pennsylvania has started working on a more strategic answer by conducting a monthly series of simplex drills to coordinate frequencies and best operating practices in case of a scenario like this. Eddie Mishevitz, KB3YRU, president of the group, told AR Newsline, quote, "We are working on and improving a communications plan one step at a time. In addition to improving radios, mast height, and antennas, we have also learned to assign portable and mobile stations to strategic locations and positions," end quote. He said the hilly terrain and ridges in the area are presenting some significant challenges for an effective solution to ensure better simplex coverage. The Southwest District Skywarn team is also spreading the word at hamfests and other events about using simplex in emergency situations. They are inviting their fellow amateurs to prepare ahead of time for severe weather events while developing the right equipment and skills for successful simplex operations, whether HF, VHF, or UHF. The next drill is scheduled to be held Saturday, April 13th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Island on the Air has expanded a program that will help fund activations of more rare locations. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us what this means.
The Islands on the Air De-Expedition Fund, created last year to support activations in rare locations with no activity for at least 15 years, has expanded its qualifications to include additional islands and island groups. The fund's original announcement last September said it would provide grants to assist operations from IOTA references confirmed by fewer than one quarter of IOTA members in the last decade. This has now been broadened to include operations to those locations confirmed by fewer than 30% of IOTA members on IOTA's most wanted list. Both categories must have had no activations for at least 15 years. IOTA Limited believes that having two categories will provide an advantage for the expeditions to an estimated 250 IOTA groups. Applicants should note the rarity of the IOTA reference they plan to activate, how long they will be there, how many operators they will have, the estimated number of contacts they expect to log, the bands to be used, and, of course, the estimated cost of the de-expedition. For an application and more details, visit the IOTA website using the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Utah Amateur Radio Club's W7SP repeater on Sundays as part of the club's 9 p.m. net. In an effort to make its online registration system more secure, the Federal Communications Commission is introducing two-factor authentication while signing on. As of the 29th of March, those wishing to access the Commission's registration system, known as CORS, will need to request a 6-digit secondary verification code to be sent to their email address. They will be required to enter the code into the system before they can go forward with logging in. This requirement will affect anyone looking to reset a password, request a new federal registration number, or to pay any application or regulatory fees. The Emmy Awards, best known for their celebrity recipients, has a new well-known recipient among the ranks, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission. That report comes to us from George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU.
In the U.S., the Emmy Awards, bestowed by the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, are best known for acknowledging stellar achievements in the television industry. This year, however, a somewhat unconventional award recipient stood out amongst the more typical award winners in entertainment and sports programming. The Federal Communications Commission, the U.S. government regulatory agency, was the recipient of a Technology and Engineering Emmy Award for having held a broadcast auction. The auction, which took place over several years, opened the door for TV stations to receive incentive payments in exchange for their return of underutilized parts of the broadcast spectrum. The funds the stations received enabled them to reinvest in their own operations, while the newly available spectrum was auctioned off to wireless broadband carriers to use for 5G and other services. The auction brought in a gross total of $19.8 billion in U.S. currency. 50 broadcasters received over $10 billion in payments. Another $7.3 billion went to the U.S. Treasury to help reduce the federal deficit. This is George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU.
Do you know a promising young radio amateur who'd be a good candidate for the Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award? Let Newsline know. Candidates must live in the continental United States and be 18 years of age or younger. Tell our judges about your nominee's talent, promise, and commitment to the spirit of ham radio. This is your chance to honor and acknowledge that person who will, no doubt, go on to teach and inspire others. Find the nomination form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the Awards tab. Nominations close on May 31st. Just 2 weeks ahead of its solar eclipse QSO party, members of HAM, SCI, the Ham Radio Citizen Science Investigation Organization, met with STEM educators, researchers, and ham radio operators for its 7th annual workshop. It was hosted on March 22nd and 23rd on the campus of Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and online. Workshop topics range from a review of ionospheric data collected during last year's annular solar eclipse to various aspects of space weather. A major topic of the weekend was alignments between the Sun, Moon, and Earth in preparation for the April 8th total eclipse of the Sun over North America. What are you doing on April 18th? There is something to celebrate, as Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us.
25 countries formed the International Amateur Radio Union in Paris in 1925. There are now three regions across the world and 160 member societies. World Amateur Radio Day is being marked April 18, and this year's celebration has been given a theme in anticipation of the IAU reaching its centenary next year. Organisers are calling it a century of connections, celebrating 100 years of amateur radio innovation, community and advocacy. The name acknowledges that ham radio became popular even before the IARU was created as an advocate for ham's roles in global communication and to defend amateur frequency allocations. On April 18, be listening for amateurs across Canada operating official stations ending in the suffix RAC for Radio Amateurs of Canada. A more expanded on-air celebration is planned in Greece, where the Radio Amateur Association of Greece will be using call sign Sierra Zulu Zero WARD to mark the occasion from April 15 to the 30th. Be listening around for other organisations in other nations and regions as they join the global celebration. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
In the world of DX, be listening for ER30ARM, a special call sign marking the 30th anniversary of the Amateur Radio Society of Moldova. ER1KAA operators will be on the air till the 30th of April. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Felipe, CE3SX is active as CB0ZIX from the Juan Fernandez Islands until the 4th of April. You can hear him on 6 meters SSB and FT8 in Foxhound mode. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Pete G0TLE is using the call sign V4/G0TLE from St. Kitts, IOTA, number NA104 until the 5th of April, operating CW and SSB on 40 to 10 meters. QSL details can be found on QRZ.com. Listen for Torsten, DL9GG, active as ZD7GG from St. Helena Island, IOTA number AF022 until the 30th of March. Torsten is using CW and some SSB on 160 to 10 meters, QSL via home call or EQSL. We end this week's newscast with a special report from our April Fool's Day correspondent, Pierre Poulibaly. Pierre has spent the last several decades as an investigative reporter for Newsline, and he has a groundbreaking report that will change the lives of hams living in communities that impose antenna restrictions. This report is a Newsline exclusive. Pierre?
Ah, chérie, we must rejoice! After years of research and experimentation, the famous French scientist Jacques-N. de Binstolk has created not just ham radio's best engineered antennas, but ham radio's first genetically engineered antennas. These are antennas you can grow from seed. You can now plant yagis, hex beams, quads, and long wires, and as they spring up from the earth, these will all look like the green beans, the sunflowers, the big boy tomatoes. The homeowner association president, she will never know you are growing a true antenna farm. These Brussels sprouts can get you DX in Brussels. These tall French green beans will get you a contact with moi, Pierre Poulin-Maleg, living just outside of Marseille, where I am growing my own crop of tender end-fed half-wave dipoles. Ah, and after trimming your antenna, you still cannot get a good SWR. Simply keep trimming and turn your antenna into a salad. Ooh, 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 la, la. Now, Pierre is so very hungry. Au revoir, mes amis. I must go fricassee ma jepole. This is Pierre pulling my leg.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, ARRL, CQ Magazine, CNN, David Behar, K7DB, DX News, DX World, Ed Wilson, N2XDD, FCC, 425 DX News, NBC, Ham, SCI, Islands on the Air, Parks on the Air, QRZ.com, ShortwaveRadio.de, Stargazers Project, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.